we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I'm pastor of that great church. 65 years it's been around, and we pray that it will continue to touch and influence the community until Jesus returns. That's what our prayer is. So we want to invite you to come and check out some of our services. We meet on Wednesday nights. We meet on Sunday mornings. And we also have a ladies' meeting, a men's meeting throughout the month. And we would love to have you come and be a part of whatever you can avail yourself of. So this coming, it's not this coming week. It's still a couple of weeks away. We've got a youth event that is going on, and youth outing. And so they're going to have a great time, and our kids are going to have a great time. We are preparing, however, for our kids to go to church camp this summer. There is a huge number of people that when they go to camp, they make decisions for Jesus, and they have life-altering encounters with God. And so our church tends to help our young people go to camp so that we can have an investment in them, because we want them ending up with their names in the rolls of heaven and not in the rolls of any other registry that has negative connotations to it. So we want them to be trained up in the way that they should go. And so there's going to be some exciting things coming up. I do want to remind you, we are going to be having a time of prayer, and that is going to take place the first week in July. And so if you have prayer requests that you would like for us to remember on this, we're going to have a prayer broadcast. We're going to be praying and asking God to do great and mighty things. And so rather than me teaching from the Word during that time, we're going to be just sharing prayer requests and believing God for miracles of people right here in Brevard County. So you can reach us by phone at the church. The phone number is at the end of the broadcast. You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us via email. You can check out our webpage. You can get us in all of those manners. You can call us on the phone and leave a message on the answering machine. And so between now and the 1st of July, the first week of July, it will be towards the latter end of the week, I believe. I want to encourage you to come and share your prayer requests so that we can pray them. And when we pray for them, we're not going to say, you know, that first and last name's got a need for this. That's not the way we're doing it. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be praying. You know, if you say that you're want us to pray for somebody who's battling cancer, and you tell us that it's a man, said, God, we pray for this man right now that's battling cancer. So we're not going to violate any confidentiality issues or anything like that. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're just going to pray the prayer of faith and believe that God will send signs and wonders that will glorify his name throughout the community. So JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. If they can help you out with any block or concrete work, give them a call, and they will be a blessing to you. So let's get to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And we're going to begin in reading today in verse number 10. And I don't know how far we'll go down. We'll just read down to verse 10 and 11 at this point in time, and then we'll move on from there. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. for thus says the Lord. We're going to stop right there. That was the first line from verse number 12. And so here there's an interesting sequence of words here. It talks about things that are being done with her, love her, with her, for her, and that you will be satisfied and consoled of her and of her. Okay? And this is talking about the restoration of Jerusalem, the restoration of the nation of Israel specifically. So I want to put that out here, that's specifically what that it's this is talking about. But it also has an application that we could make into our life, that we rejoice with those who rejoice. And what happens is when you begin to go through life as a body of believers instead of just by yourself, there are going to be things that you are going to see that are cause for celebration that happen in other people's life that might not have any direct bearing upon you, but you, as a result of that, can begin to have a change of attitude. And so this passage, we talked a little bit about this on Friday. It says, all you who mourn for her. There, Israel had this this ability to have a long memory. So that when Nehemiah came and the temple was rebuilt, that there was weeping and wailing, and there was also great rejoicing. There were some people who saw the temple raised up, and other people remembered the glories of the previous temple that had been destroyed. And so some people were mourning because it wasn't as great as it was, and other people said, look, it is better than it was, you know, a short time ago. You know, and how do I want to say this? We've been at the church for 24 and a half years. And so we can see how things have progressed. Other people come in and they want to compare you with the mega churches and all of that sort of stuff. And they may, and I'll tell you, you compare us with the biggest mega church around, and you're going to find a lot of things that they've got that we don't have. You're just going to find that. We're not going to compare well with that. And some people would look and say, well, I'm lamenting that you don't have this, and I'm lamenting. And I want you to rejoice with what God has done. See, because everything has to begin someplace. And so the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, because you've got to start someplace. And so if you add to things little by little, now I tell you, we could have a long time ago, we could have come along, went out and borrowed the money and completed every renovation project that the church needed. And then we would have paid for that for a long, long, long time. And we would have had a lot of interest to it, but we have chosen to fund ours a little by little, a little by little. And if when we can pay for something, that's when we do it. So we've still got a couple of projects that we need to complete. And as soon as those funds come in, we will address those situations and we will move on to the next thing. I will tell you, I'm already rejoicing that there is going to come a day where I don't have major building issues to have to deal with. And so I'm really excited for that day where all I got to focus on is building up people and not making sure that buildings are all taken care of. Really excited about that day. So I don't have to mourn for what I'm missing. I can rejoice for what I have. And so it says, rejoice with Jerusalem. There needs to be the ability for the body of Christ to rejoice. Rejoice and being glad. I tell you, you can be glad and nobody ever know it. You can have a contentment on the inside and it not ever be demonstrated to anybody else. And so I want to encourage you not only to have the attitude of gladness, but that you also take that next step and you rejoice. So even if it has no bearing on you, you need this passage here is going to to say because they were rejoicing with what God was doing in Jerusalem, that Jerusalem was going to be a source of nutrition and consolation and hope for them. And so you need to rejoice with people who rejoice right now, because God may do something in their life that is going to be transformative. And so it says, and be glad with her, all you who love her. Okay, so I'm going to bring this into a little bit closer realm, and that is this, that if you have made that decision and that commitment to love one another till death do you part, you might as well make that journey with joy and gladness in your heart. Be glad with her, all you who love her. And so I want to encourage you to love your church, love your family, love God, and let the rejoicing and the gladness be a manifestation of that. Our homes were not meant to be war zones. Our churches were not meant to be war zones. They were meant to be places of agape feast, or where there was a feast on the unconditional love of God. And that is something that everyone could appreciate. And it said, rejoice for with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied. Okay. So, excuse me. Every once in a while, after we've had dinner, a little while after that, all of a sudden, I start getting hungry. And my body is saying, I know that you fed me, but I'm not satisfied yet. And you can try and fight that off, and there may be all sorts of tactics. And so, you know, I like to find something that will bring me to that place of satisfaction or fullness or completion, where I will be able to not deal with those hunger issues till I go to bed. Now, I'm balancing that with a desire to lose weight. And so that's a kind of a tricky thing. You know, you've got to deny yourself, and yet you also want to be satisfied. And if we understood that from a hunger principle, how much more would it be of benefit to our society if we, as a people of God, were satisfied? We were satisfied spiritually, we were satisfied emotionally, we were satisfied intellectually, we're satisfied relationally, we're satisfied financially. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in, whether it's a place of bounty or a place of challenge. I've learned that I can be content there, because God is the one that's got all things in under control. So I want to be satisfied. He said that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. And so now we move into a picture of a mother and a child is where we're going. And so I find it interesting that Jeremiah chapter 29, let me just take you over there. We're not going to go into Jeremiah after this. We're going to talk about some other things. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, everybody knows, seems to know, verse number 11. But I want to move it back up to verse number 4, where Jeremiah says, by the way, this word brought comfort to Daniel when he was in captivity. Okay? Verse number 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Listen to this. This is the part I want you to focus on today. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to me, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So here is what Jeremiah said. Seek the peace of the city where you have been carried away captive to. So I want to ask you, are you praying for the peace of America? Do you pray for peace right here in Brevard County? Do you pray for peace at your job? Do you pray for peace at your home? Because there are benefits that are going to happen. It's not just an activity that God wants us to go through. It has benefit to us. And so he says, pray to the Lord for it. And so we need to be praying for our city. You need to be praying for your neighbors. You need to be praying for your coworkers and for your loved ones. Listen, just because you and your entire family is saved does not mean that God is through with the redemption business. We are believing for a harvest of souls in Brevard County, and that's going to take people who are willing to get up from the banquet table and go out into the harvest field with the tools of the harvest and bring men and women and boys and girls from every segment of society into a relationship with Jesus Christ being their Lord and their Savior. So you need to pray for that. For in its peace, you will have peace. So I don't know if you ever felt like you walked through the door and you changed universes and you walked right into a war zone or not. But God is saying, I want you to rejoice with everything that I am doing in Jerusalem, because it is going to have a nutritious effect upon you. You're going to be consoled in her. You're going to be provided nutrition by her. You're going to be satisfied in the city where God has placed you. You see, there are people who are always chasing fantasies. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs is, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. See, we're not called to chase fantasies. We're called to pursue righteousness. That's pretty good. I think we should write that down. We're called to pursue righteousness. And so we need to realize that if we will pray for our churches, if we will pray for our workplaces, that it's going to have a benefit to us. He said that you may drink deeply and be delighted. And so we have in Isaiah chapter 66, in the first 11 verses, we now have the word delight that has been used three times. In verse number 3, it says, and their soul delights in their abominations. They were people who chose things that were abhorrent to God. And verse number 4 says, and they chose that in which I do not delight. It is unreasonable to believe that God is going to put a stamp of approval on things that are destructive. God's not going to do that. God has told us, these are things that are pleasing, acceptable, and perfect in my sight. Do them, and things are going to go great. Reject them, and it's going to be very challenging. And you've got to choose. And so they chose to do that in which God did not delight. And now in verse number 11, God is saying that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. So I believe that God wants us to have a supernatural source of delight, that we would recognize the glory of God operating in someone's life, operating in the life of a church, operating in the life of a community. We just had Jerry Hill, by the way. I will tell you this, that she is coming to Daytona Beach. She will be there this coming weekend. I believe it's Friday and Saturday that she's going to be there, maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in the Daytona Beach area. And so if you missed her when she was with us, you may want to travel up to Daytona. It's not a long trip, and experience what God is going to do up there. Hope for Daytona is, I believe, what the name of the event is going to be called. And so when the revival was going on in Pensacola, there were so many people that were coming in from all around the world to the revival that the city leaders in Pensacola would call the pastor of the church just to make sure that the revival was still going to go on, because it was a huge boom to the local economy. The hotels had higher occupancy rates. The restaurants had more customers. The beaches got visited more frequently. And so those people were saying, praise God for revival. Now, they might not have been doing it for the most spiritual reasons. They were probably doing it for economic reasons. But I'm telling you that when the glory of God comes, that when Jesus is exalted, it is going to have benefit for the entire community. And so I pray today that you are not just delighted when your favorite television show comes on. You're not just thrilled whenever you're eating your favorite meal, but you're delighted when you have a spiritual sustenance that is coming and you're seeing the glory of God. You're seeing lives transformed. You're seeing new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're seeing God answer prayers. So, verse number 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her side, shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And praise God, how many of you could use a little bit more peace in your life? What if I told you that the Prince of Peace has an inexhaustible supply of the shalom of God? He's not running out. There's not a spiritual drought of peace. It's just that we tend to pursue peace in a manner in which it's not going to manifest. Peace is a gift from God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay? And so he says, I'm going to extend peace to her like a river. And you know what? I believe that God has extended peace to you and I. You might be going through a tumultuous season in your life that seems comparable to the disciples crossing the sea on Jesus' command, and you're now in the middle of the body of water, and it's too far to turn back, and you can't see how far you have to go, and the wind and the waves are howling, and it looks like all of the evidence says you're not going to make the journey. The people at that point in time, the disciples, began to cry out to Jesus and say, don't you care? Wake up. Don't you care that we are going to perish? And Jesus said, peace, be still. And the storm calmed down. Peace like a river. That means it's not just a superficial peace. It's a peace with depth to it. You see, there are a lot of people who understand peace from the aspect of a lack of conflict. And so they think that they are experiencing peace if they are not fighting like cats and dogs. And so they will do whatever they can to get the battle to end without dealing with the core issue or the core problem. And I will tell you that we cannot experience substantial peace without having a serious relationship with God, be that as an individual, a family, a church, a county, a state, a country, or a world. World. I'll pronounce the D this time. We need Jesus. Peace is not something that we can manifest in ourselves. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Let me take you there, and that's where we will end today's broadcast. Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. The only way to have the peace of God is to abide in the Spirit of God. Have Jesus be the Lord of your life and allow the peace of God to become a reality in your life. It should be a natural byproduct for the life of every believer. There shouldn't be a need to worry. There shouldn't be any reason for anxiety. God is saying, I want to extend to you a constant source of peace, an inexhaustible source of peace. Just because you've got a problem that has arisen doesn't affect. You know, there could be trees that fall down on the riverbank, and the river just keeps right on flowing. And today I want you to know that the peace of God, it's flowing your direction. He wants you to experience that peace. I'm going to pray for you today and pray that this will not be your typical Monday. A lot of people come to Mondays and they think, oh no, just problems after problems. But I've got a new P for you today, and that is the peace of God, that it will flow like a river in your life. Father, I just pray right now for every workplace, every home, every man, every woman that is listening. God, I pray today that you would extend to them peace like a river, a peace that would not just be superficial, but Lord, it would have depth. It would be able to get them through the difficult times, and it would get them through times of bounty. God, I pray for the peace of God to rule and reign in this county. In Jesus' name, see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.